Dear congregation, the year 2024 has begun. A new year. The old year is closed. That door is shut, and we can't do it over. It's done. It's past. What we can do is give it back into the hands of the Lord and count these days. That we cannot do this year again. So we look ahead. We have probably different expectations here. Some of us will enter this year with joy in their heart, with hopeful anticipation. Maybe it is the last year at university. You're looking forward to your graduation. Maybe you're looking forward to that special time coming and special vacation or whatever, for a wedding. And you're looking forward for that great day of your wedding. Or for a pregnancy. And although there is much uncertainty, you are looking forward for that moment that a child will be born. Maybe a first job, whatever. Expectation can fill our heart. Others will leave it more indifferent. Well, life goes on as always, probably steadily. Expectations are not high. Well, we look ahead, but as far as we can see, we do not see any major change. Still, others look up to that year, and it is like a skyscraper. And we see so many uncertainties and dark clouds. Maybe there is a surgery awaiting, an illness continuing, uncertainty about our health, another looming uncertainty, a depression, loneliness. So many reasons why we can look up to 2024 and see impossibilities and uncertainties. Looking ahead. Well, we all look ahead, standing on the threshold of 2024 with different expectations. But this morning in this service, I want to look ahead to 2024 with the words of Moses. In the last verses of Psalm 90, beginning again with verse 12, leading up to verse 17. And there we read, and we hope to end with these words. They are the main words this morning. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, surround us, and establish, make firm, thou, the work of our hands. We all have our plans, but Lord, make them firm. And again, the same prayer. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it, make it firm. Well, the theme for the sermon this New Year's Day is a prayer for God's blessing. A prayer for God's blessing. Three thoughts. First, looking back one more time, as we did yesterday, we will look back. Before leaving 2023 and really entering, walking into 2024, one more time we look back, looking back. Secondly, hope and certainty. There is hope. There is certainty also for 2024. And third, plan for the future. A plan for the future. So first, looking back. Again, verse 12. We begin in verse 12. We know that text by now. So teach us to number, to count our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord asks Moses, teach us. We are that us, right? We are included in that us. Teach us to count every day. To count every moment in our life. By looking to that day and evaluating it. By counting it and considering it. What about this past day? Counting, evaluating, analyzing, considering what those days were like. It's like checking them. How, of course, with the measure of God's word, we lay our days next to the measure of God's word and will. That's to count our days. And it's important not to do it only at New Year's Eve or New Year, but every day of our life, before we go to sleep, to bed, to count the day, to evaluate it, to put it aside to God's word, and to consider, was it according to God's will? Did we see God's hand here? Counting, checking. We find the same expression, to count, to check, to number, in Daniel 5, verse 25. You know that story. It is a well-known story. In Daniel 5, you meet a mighty king. His name is Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Belshazzar. He is there in a feast, celebrating with 1,000 mighty men of his kingdom. But suddenly, during that feast and celebration, there is a finger. Imagine, right? Suddenly a finger writing on the wall. There in that banquet hall in that palace. What is written there with that finger? It's written there, and I pronounce it in Hebrew, Mene. Mene, tekel, ufarsim. Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsim. And the king, he can't read Hebrew. He's startled, he's bewildered. What's happening here? Whose finger is that? What is written there? What does it mean? What's happening here? And he shakes all over his body. And then in the end, he invites Daniel, that wise man, to explain, to read and to explain the words. And Daniel explains the words. King Belshazzar. It is written there, Mene, twice. It's God's finger. And he told you there, I counted your days, your life. King, the Lord counted because you didn't count. Mene, mene. You forgot to count. And therefore the Lord began to count. That second word, tekel, that's the judgment. Wait, judged. King, you didn't count, so the Lord did count, and he judged. Do you know what the outcome is, King? Ufarsim. Farsim, U is end. So farsim, what does it mean? Divided. King, it's over and out. Your kingdom will be divided. Your kingship will be taken away from you. You didn't glorify God. Daniel is clear about it. He literally says in verse 23, King, you did not glorify God. That's the reason to count our days. To glorify God, to get to know ourselves, and to recognize and confess that we are rebels and sinners. But at the same time, to count our days, to see God's good hand, his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his mercy, and his grace. And that will lead to a praise of him, a glorification of him. King, you didn't do that. Mene. The same word, mene, is used here in Psalm 90. Numbered, it says there, mene, mene. Dear congregation, we are called at the beginning of 2024 to count, to number our days, to weigh them before God will weigh them. And then it is too late. Count them and confess your sins and see God's patience. Remember the words spoken to you, his promises. You never know when that time will come, and it's too late. You can't say anymore, God, just wait a moment. Don't begin counting. I will begin count. And the Lord will say, no, it's over. I have had so much patience, it's enough. Enough. Mene, mene, tekel, ufarsim. Your glory taken because you forgot my glory. Let's continue to read. Teach us to number our days in 2024. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We shortly considered these words yesterday, but I will add some meaning here, some more meaning. Wisdom means, first of all, you know, the intellectual wisdom we have. And the wisdom, the skills we have, the intellectual wisdom and the physical skills we receive. That's that wisdom. That same word is used in the Old Testament for the builders of the tabernacle. They needed wisdom. The skills and the intellectual wisdom to make the things as God wanted to make them and to have them. They must be wonderful works of art as intended by God. So that wisdom here, right? Apply our hearts unto wisdom. That wisdom is wisdom connected to God's intention. It is the wisdom to do our daily work as intended by God. So wisdom is closely connected to God himself. Without God, there is no wisdom. No wisdom. And that same wisdom, it's not written here, but this is scriptural. You find it all over in scripture. That wisdom is closely related. It's actually the same thing as the fear of God. Job 28, verse 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So we read there, teach us to number our days. Why? What's the reason? That we may receive wisdom. And then we add to it Job 28, verse 28, and the book of Proverbs, that we live in the fear of the Lord, because that's wisdom. That we live 2024 differently from 2023. Because there was a lack of the fear of the Lord. And therefore we missed the goal so many times in 2023. Lord, and therefore, please let this be your intention for 2024. To count and evaluate every day. To receive wisdom. To live in the fear of the Lord. What is, by the way, the fear of the Lord? It is to love him, to worship him. Before you go to bed, you look back. What do you see? Without any exception, you will see on your part shortcomings. Although you tried. And you will see, without exception, God's patience and how he carried you through the day and how he gave you and provided you with so many blessings. And it will lead you to the fear of the Lord. You will worship him before you go to sleep. Before you lay down your head, you count your day in order to worship him. To know that he will be at your right hand that night. And that he never sleeps nor slumbers. So fearing the Lord is worshiping him. And counting your days leads to worshiping him. You know, what is it to fear the Lord? It is not only to worship him and to fear and to serve him, to praise him, to praise him. It is also to respect him, to revere him. It is that intention, therefore, to keep his laws, to walk in the path of righteousness. It is your intention to live a holy life. You see that it's all connected. It begins with counting your days. To getting to know yourself and to get to know God in his mercy and his greatness. And that will make you wise because you will begin to fear the Lord, to worship and praise him. And then you have that intention to follow him for the next day, to live holy that coming day. And you know, ultimately, that wisdom and the fear of the Lord is a response on God's redemptive acts. For the Old Testamentic people here, it were God's redemptive acts from leading them out of Egypt, through the impossible Red Sea, through the desert, and leading them into the land of Canaan. For us, it is Christ. Count your days, evaluate them, consider them, that it will lead you to Christ. You will see him and remember him. and see his great redemptive acts. Moses did count his days, no doubt about it. And therefore, he presses upon us, let us count our days. He is here the mediator, the leader of the people of Israel. And Moses unmistakably was led to wisdom, received wisdom, and lived in the fear of the Lord. He worships the Lord. Thou art God. That's that worship of the Lord, right? That to revere him. Mind you, a wise heart is not there by itself. No, really. The fear of the Lord is there not by itself. The fear of the Lord and a wise heart are, and we go back to verse 12, obtained, received, right? Because it reads there, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. But I told you yesterday, you can also translate to receive a wise heart, to obtain a wise heart. In the end, a wise heart, the fear of the Lord, is grace alone. We receive it. It all begins with regeneration. As the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3, so clear. Nicodemus lacked wisdom, although he was a professor in theology. But he lacked real wisdom, the fear of the Lord. He probably didn't count his days. And therefore never came unto true wisdom and the fear of the Lord. The Lord tells him, Nicodemus, you need to count your days. You need regenerating grace. You need to be with me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But God, in his wisdom, gives means of grace, right? That wise heart, the fear of the Lord, it is a gift from God, worked by the Holy Spirit. But God gives means of grace. He gives, first of all, his word. Well, but Moses tells us this morning that counting our days is a mean to receive wisdom, to receive and to obtain the fear of the Lord. It is an instrument, according to Moses, to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because by counting our days, evaluating them, we put them next to God's word, to God's will, the Ten Commandments, the life of Jesus Christ, God's redemptive acts. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, it will bring us to Christ, the fear of the Lord. Our lives are so, we are so busy. Busy, busy, busy. We don't have the time, right? Even in bed, we still check our telephone. Oh, is there something on Facebook? Something on WhatsApp? Something in Signal? Something on Instagram? Whatever. We never stop checking it. But take your time this year to count, to meditate, to read God's word, to pray. Count your day. And it will lead you, according to Moses and God's word, to the fear of the Lord. You will gain, obtain a wise heart. Right? It is, you know, there is another thing here. Yesterday, we spoke about verse 3, right? Thou turnest man to destruction. Right? And I explain these words that Moses looks back and he sees the 40 years journey through the desert and he sees a cemetery. So many graves. So many people that lost their lives. But I would like to explain this verse now a little bit differently. Counting our days will lead us to destruction. It will bring us to destruction. To dust, we begin to humble ourselves before God. God, I am mere dust. That's what I am. I'm a man of this world and a man of flesh. That's who I am. Thou turnest men to destruction. It is God's will that we will be turned to destruction and dust before we will turn to dust. That we humble ourselves. Count your days. That you will humble yourself and flee to Christ. Oh, it's such a serious business to count your days. Please don't forget it. I suppose you have intentions for 2024. If you don't have intentions now, when do you have intentions, right? A new year is the moment of having good intentions. Well, I hope this will be your intention, to count your day. From now on, to take your time every night to evaluate your day, to meditate upon God's word, that you will receive a wise heart. And it will lead you to the fear of the Lord. In other words, to faith in Christ. Well, let's move on. The second thought, hope and certainty. Moses. He surveys the past. He counts the days. And he prays. And he shows clearly a wise heart. He sees God's wrath, and he sees sin and guilt, but he does not dwell on that. Stay there. No. Let us not stay there. Dwell with sin and guilt. There is more. Verse 13. Let's move on. So we teach that we count. It leads us to destruction, to dust. We humble ourselves because we recognize we are flesh. And then, verse 13, return, O Lord. How long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. He asks God, as it were, Lord, change your mind, please. Change your mind. Do not continue to act in your wrath against me as you did with that Exodus generation. Lord, may this generation, ask Moses, standing here before me, the desert generation, the new generation, the people sitting here, may they come to know you differently, not in your wrath, but in your mercy. God had called the man, literally in the desert, right? All the whole Exodus generation died in the desert, but two, Joshua and Caleb. God had led him to destruction, literally. And now he asked, Lord, please, return. Show yourself to be another God, not only a God that brings us to death and to destruction. Lord, you have executed your judgment, but now show compassion. And we pray in 2024, every day, Lord, you have poured out your wrath upon Jesus Christ. I abide in him. have compassion with us. Show your mercy. Show your mercy. Moses, how does he dare to ask this? Now, Lord, show your other side. Show your mercy and compassion. Well, let's continue to read. Return, O Lord. How long? Let it repent thee according concerning thy servants. In other words, he looks to the people before him and he says, we are God, your servants. All of them. No, he doesn't say they are all saved. That's something different. He says, Lord, look to Providence Reformed Church. They are all your servants. That young child there, the father, that mother, that grandfather there, the man in the bag, all of them, they are your servants. In other words, they are your covenant people. The Lord has called the people of Israel. He has called us in a certain sense. Elected, I don't say elected unto salvation, but elected, set apart from the world. And he has baptized us and put his name on our forehead. In other words, he pleads with the Lord. He knows their sin and their guilt and their unworthiness. But he says, Lord, in spite of that, show from now on your mercy, because it are all your servants. It's all written on your on their foreheads. Lord, see it. You have written it on their foreheads. You are my child. He pleads with the Lord. And we know of that other mediator, Jesus Christ, who pleads with the Lord. What a strong prayer, eh? What a strong prayer. Let it repent thee according to thy servants. And then we continue to read verse 14. Satisfy us early in the night before we went to sleep. We counted our days. But in the morning, give us your mercy. Your mercy, it says in Hebrew. Oh, it's such a beautiful word. Chesed. And it is exactly the same thing. It is God's covenant faithfulness. All over in Scripture, you find that concept of God's covenant. Don't mix it with salvation, no. But God's covenant in the wider sense, that God sets people apart. And he shows, and Moses asks, because it are your children, you call them and you set them apart. Show them your other side, your compassion, your mercy, your faithfulness, you could translate, or your steadfast love. All these people, we all feel. But Moses knows, by own experience, God is a God of steadfast love. Oh, what a mediator is here. He pleads with his father. They don't deserve it, but Father, you know, I came. I came. What a powerful appeal. God's goodness, a covenant loyalty, his faithfulness, is the pleading ground for Moses. It is our pleading ground. Wrestle with God. Wrestle with God day by day. And it will bring you closer to him. You can't wrestle with God, you know, a mile away, right? You can only wrestle with God when he is close to you. So you get a hold on him and you wrestle with him. I can't let you go. I'm your servant. I know I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. Show your mercy upon me. Why? Let's continue to read. Verse 14b. That we may rejoice in 2024 and be glad all our days. The gladness of 2024 and the joy of life. Well, you will not find that in the world. Oh, you know, the world can give you gladness of heart and joy. Oh, for sure. But it's always short-lived. But this mercy, this covenant faithfulness, the grace of the Lord will give a never-ending, all-surpassing joy. And you can be ill. Your strength will diminish. And still have that joy in your heart. My Savior lives. Lord, give us in 2024, as Providence Reformed Church, that joy. That we may see Christ. That we may receive him with empty hands, as sinners brought to dust, humbled. Give us that joy. Let that be our prayer. Let's continue to read. Verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Oh, there were so many days of afflictions and days that I wrestled with you, but from now on, Lord, may I abide in Christ. Have his peace in my heart. And may I show that peace to the people around me, whoever they are. Let thy word, we continue to read verse 16, thy work appear unto thy servants again, right? He doesn't say that they are all safe. They are not. But they are God's covenant people. What a pleading ground. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. And of course, Moses thinks of God's great redemptive acts, the Exodus. The traveling through the Red Sea on dry ground, walls of water at both sides. He thinks about the journey of 40 years through the desert. And their clothes were not worn out. And day by day there was manna and quails. There were oases. Oh, God was so abundantly good. Let thy work appear. May we see it again in our life. Unto thy servants. And thy glory unto thy children. That glory refers, of course, to Mount Sinai, where God appeared in his glory. But we know so far more. We pray with New Testamentic eyes and ears and heart, let thy work in Jesus Christ appear unto thy servants. Lord, we are your people. Please bring us to Christ. Lead us to him, that we may abide in him, that we may sit at his food and wonder at his work. That he suffered and died for me. For me, wayward sinner. That he entered my death, but also left my death, right? He rose up from my death. He is alive. I am alive in him. I am alive. Although I am dead in sin and trespasses, I'm alive in him. And he reigns. Whatever will happen in 2024, in his providence, he will lead my life. May I have that joy in my heart. Moses also says, right, that thy glory may appear unto their children. Here, I see the young children, that they may see God's glory. We know what God's glory is, right? Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He is God's glory. Oh, I see these young children, that you may know Jesus Christ and follow him. And that other young child there, and the other one, the next generation, that they may grow up with a wise heart in the fear of the Lord's children, never go to sleep before counting your day. Never. Take your time. Never forget it. Count your day. Evaluate your day. Bring it to the Lord that it will may bring you to dust, that you may humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. And then read the Bible and the precious promises of God. And it will lead you to Christ. Well, you know, we see indeed God's work and glory in Christ. There is a beautiful song in Revelation 15. It's the song of the mediator of the Old Testament, Moses, and the song of the mediator of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. And we read in Revelation 15, that's the song in heaven. The song in heaven, and may it be our song in 2024 already now. Great and marvelous are thy works. Count your days. Count your days. It will lead you there. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Well, before we end with the third thought, let us sing Psalter 259. That's Psalm 96. And we'll sing three stanzas, 1, 2, and 4. Psalter 259, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. a plan for the future. Moses is not yet finished with his prayer. And we are not finished. Let's continue to read verse 17. And we hear Moses praying, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." And he repeats, "Yea, the works of our hands, establish thou it." That first expression, "Let the beauty of the Lord, our God, abound upon Providence Reformed Church, our family." The pleasantness, the kindness, the comeliness, the loveliness, the favor of the Lord be upon us. What a powerful prayer at the beginning of 2024. We have counted it brought us to dust, but it led us to the fear of the Lord, to Christ. And so we ask, may his beauty surround us and indwell us. We continue to read, "And establish thou the works of our hands." In other words, make firm the works of our hands. That which our hands finds us to do. We all have our tasks. And our age doesn't matter. As long as we live, the Lord gives us work to do. It doesn't matter where we are, how old we are. The Lord has work for us. And we ask at the beginning of 2024, make firm the work of our hands. That what our hands find to do in 2024. No doubt you have expectations for 2024. No doubt you have plans for 2024. There are among us who hope to continue their study. There are among us who hope to marry in a while. Or others, it doesn't matter, but you have your plans. Well, ask the Lord, make firm our plans, the work of our hands. I have a question. On what basis are you making your plans? Or have you made your plans? Because you all have your plans. On what basis have you made your plans? Was it your own strength and wisdom? Or was it that you make your plans after counting your days? Being led to dust and to the word of God, after having received a wise heart, and be brought to the fear of the Lord, faith in Christ. That's the moment to make your plans, and not before. Don't make any plan without a wise heart, because your plan will fail, and it will bring you further away from God. It will lead you away from him. It all begins with count your days, that it will bring you to dust and lead you to Christ, give you a wise heart, that you may obtain faith, receive faith. That's how you make your plans for 2024. They must be grounded on Jesus Christ, because he is the rock. If you make plans without him, it is swamp ground. You will drown. You will fail. But if you make your plans on the rock, you will succeed without any doubt. You all know Jonathan Edwards, eh? He's quite well known. He repented and made a confession of faith. He was only 19 years old. I would like to raise your hands when you are 19 years old. There are among us who are 19 years old, or close to 19, 18, 20, right? Close, around 19. Well, Jonathan Edwards, okay? 19 years old, okay. And he drafted a confession after he repented. He drafted it in confession. That same confession traveled with him his entire life. He went over it every week, weekly. It were our 70 articles, 7-0. I would like to read, before I say amen, a few of these articles. First article, Jonathan Edwards, 19 years old. He repented, and then he draws this confession. He writes these words. Being sensible that I cannot do anything without God's help. You see, he counted his days. I humbly, he was brought to dust, entreat him by his grace, wise heart brought to the fear of the Lord, to keep these resolutions. He knows, I can do it in my own strength. I need the Lord. So far as they are agreeable to his will. Again, he counts his days. Was this day agreeable to God's will? For Christ's sake, he built on that rock. Another article. I am resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it to the most profitable way I possibly can. Young people, do not waste your time. Parents, do not waste your time. Elderly people here, do not waste your time. Be profitable. Another resolution. I am resolved to live with all my might. While I do live, as long as we live, we have a task. Let's fulfill the task with all our strength. A fourth article. I am resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Everything you do, young people, everything you do, every decision you take, ask yourself, if this were my last moments in life, could I do this? Could I perform this work and take this decision? Another article. I am resolved to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if nobody has been so vile as I, brought to dust. And as if I had committed the same sins, and you look to your neighbor, or had the same infirmities or failings as others. And that I will let the knowledge of their failings promote nothing but shame in myself and prove only an occasion of my confessing mine own sins and misery to God. Last one. I'm resolved to think much on all occasions, that's his counting, of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend. He wants to be prepared for that moment that he will meet his Savior. Well, these are just a few, 5, of the 70 articles that Jonathan Edwards penned 19 years old. Let us have that same attitude as Moses, the man of God, and Jonathan Edwards. Dearly beloved, please, and I address myself. Let us count every day. Let us not forget before we go asleep to count, to evaluate, to consider. Let us every day, please, humble ourselves because we sinned and we failed. Let us meditate upon the sweet promises of God and the beauty of Christ, His glory and His work. You will receive a wise heart. You will be led to the fear of the Lord, faith in Christ. And you will make your plans for the next day, but firmly based on the rock Christ. And you will not fail. You will not fail. May the Lord bless His word. Amen. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy servant Moses, for Psalm 90, for these deep, deep and profound words, that they may resound in our heart and mind, travel with us through 2024. Lord, in this prayer, at the beginning of 2024, we humble ourselves. We are such depraved people. But Lord, we plead on Thy covenant loyalty, Thy loving kindness, Thy chesed. Lord, please remember our baptism. Please, Lord. We are so stubborn, left to ourselves. We do not contemplate and plead on our baptism. But please, Lord, lead us on contemplating and meditating upon it, seeing the work of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, His beauty, His glory. That 2024 will be a year different from all other years because we build on Him as the rock of our life, the rock of ages. Lord, forgive our sins and shortcomings in this service, in preaching and listening. But we trust Thee. Lord, we praise Thee. We know that Thou art, without any doubt, a God of overflowing goodness. And on that, we build our life in 2024. Receive our praise in the name of Thy dear beloved Son, our Savior. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 176, stanzas 1 and 3. That's Psalm 67, Psalter 176, first and last stanza, two stanzas.
Thank you. Dear congregation, you know it's our custom to address our pastor with best wishes for the new year from the Word of God. But before turning to these wishes for our pastor, allow me first, by way of introduction, to address us all from Ephesians 4, verse 7 and following. Here the Apostle Paul says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity," that's the Lord Jesus, "led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." And then the Apostle Paul, he quotes Psalm 68, and then he continues in verse 11, and he says, "And he," that's the Lord Jesus, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So what I want to just say for our edification this morning is that the Lord Jesus, being in heaven, he gives the gift of a pastor. He ascended into heaven and received the spoils of his accomplishments. So he is there with his wounds, and he shares those gifts among which are pastors and leaders. And what I want to just meditate a moment on is what a dear head of our church we have in heaven. So we always need to keep in mind that this church is not our church, or it doesn't continue because of us, but it continues because of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, giving gifts and supplying gifts to us. Therefore, Pastor, just this special thought that you are a gift of the ascended Christ to us. Your congregation, pray for your pastor that way, that he comes from Christ, and hear his word that he preaches as coming from the Lord Jesus, a gift to us by him. And when I think of the Lord Jesus being in heaven and this coming year, 2024, I'd like to encourage you with these thoughts that Jesus, being at the right hand of God, is there, according to the scripture, in three positions. And first of all, he is there. Secondly, he sits there. And thirdly, he stands there. So just a few verses from the Bible that show these things. Romans 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And also Acts 2, verse 33, "Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this." So that Christ is there has two things, and more, many more probably. But these things I thought of for you, Pastor. He maketh intercession for us. So as you pray in your calling as a pastor, he maketh intercession for us. And secondly, he hath shed forth this, he received, being at the right hand of God exalted, the Holy Spirit. So in preaching, the Spirit accompanies the word. But secondly, the Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And you find that twice in Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 3, "When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And then in verse 13 of Hebrews 1, but to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? And here also for your ministerial calling, Pastor, that the Lord Jesus, that he purged our sins. Ministerial sins are, I'm sure, a challenge. To minister the word of God and to feel guilt must be a a very challenging thing. But here it says so beautifully, when he had purged our sins, he sat down. That he sits there is a sign that his work is finished and that our sins are washed away. But also that he sits there shows that he waits till his enemies be made his footstool, a quote from Psalm 110. And there you can see that all the opposition or the resistance you would find in your ministerial life, you can give it into the hands of him who is sitting in his finished work, waiting for the accomplishment of all things. And one final thought, Jesus stands at the right hand of God. And that we find in Acts 7, verse 55 and 56, where we have the example of Stephen. And it says, he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. In this verse, we see how the Lord Jesus cares for his people and for his servants, even in their most extreme trials. He rises, as it were, and he delivers, he helps his servants. And we don't wish for you trials in the coming year, nor anything as severe as Stephen endured. But I know even you and Mrs. Pronk, when you are away from your children and family, it is also a trial. And I hope that you can at times really look and see that the Lord Jesus stands for your help and your aid in even these kind of trials and sufferings. Therefore, the Lord be with you, give you the strength you need in this coming season. I'd like to ask that we close our service by singing Psalter 346, also from Psalm 121, beginning and ending, looking unto the hills, and in this respect, looking especially to the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Let us sing both verses standing as doxology, Psalter 346.
May these words travel with us in 2024. Well,
Let us now, for the first time in this year, lift up our hearts. May many times follow, that we receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.